Welcome to All the Things with Kristen Schindler. We all have things. Doesn't matter if we're married or single, if we have no children, or if we have 10. Things in life can be overwhelming, and sometimes we just don't know how to navigate them. So each week, you're going to hear stories of hope, of inspiration, and of people navigating the same things that you and I deal with day in and day out. Their stories may sound different than ours, or they may sound just like us. Either way, each week this podcast is going to pour into your heart with hope and encouragement. We are so glad that you are here. Welcome, friends. We're so glad that you're here today for another episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. And I am so honored today to share the mic space with my friend Alice Saito. Alice has had such a journey of health and empowerment, and really just taking back the things that are most important. You know, when we talk about the things that we all carry, every one of us, we have our time that's important. We have our health, our interpersonal relationships, saying no and setting healthy boundaries, going and growing, and our service to self and others. And today, Alice is going to share with us about how her journey and her health journey really has taken her to transform herself and start serving herself, her body, and her heart in ways that are now making it able for her to serve other people in other parts of the world. So Alice, I am so, so happy that you're here with me today.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me share your mic.
And, you know, it's so interesting because you and my husband went to high school together.
Yes,
and,
we did.
And he is such a good networker for me. He's like, hey, I have this friend that, you know. And so it's been wonderful to be able to reconnect with people that he really, you know, valued and respected when he was younger that maybe he's lost touch with. So I'm so glad to have you here. So Alice, tell us a little bit about this health journey that started for you really with your diagnosis at 31. Tell us, what were you doing prior to that diagnosis, and then what the diagnosis was, and then really take us on that journey of how it's transformed your life.
Sure. Well, it definitely has been a whirlwind, but I am in such a better, more empowered, transformative place, and I'm eager to take you back. So again, this is just my story, but I have created a new life and a new story that I'm telling now, which we'll get to. But back when I had always wanted to climb the corporate ladder. I had majored in marketing in college, and it was, you know, I wanted to reach a certain financial goal, like 100 grand at 30. And I was just really chasing it. And I just really I liked it, but it wasn't something that I truly loved. And I, you know, it was just all going, not really connected. And I was working at the time for one of the largest liquor companies in the world. And I wasn't connected, and I wasn't treating my body good. I found myself numb from the waist down when I was 31. And over the course of like a couple days, and I went into the neurologist's office, and I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And I thought, wow, what is that? Is that like Jerry's Kids that you see the telethons on, you know? Mm-hmm. And so at that point in time, I decided to listen to the neurologist and what they had to say. And I just was shocked that all of a sudden, you know, somebody who was so healthy could all of a sudden just be in this state. And I, you know, there's a grieving process that you go through. And I think that you're not really aware at the time, you're kind of in shock. But then, you know, I did everything right. I got on the medication, I listened to everything, and I had it under control. But for a while, you know, my company and I kind of parted ways, and I took a year and a half off to really think as I was bedridden for 8 months. And what does Alice really want to do? I want to do something that brings me joy, that brings me passion. And I ended up, my girlfriends called me and said, hey, it's been 8 months. You should come out and meet us like at the bar. Back when we went to bars. Do you remember that, Kristen?
Yeah.
And I put a great outfit on and I looked in the mirror and I thought, oh my gosh, I feel pretty. I don't look or feel sick. So that to me was really important. You know, I mean, the importance of image and how you look, clothing can really make you feel better. And I thought, wow, if this can make me feel better, then I'm sure that who else is out there? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to, at that point in time, flew out to New York. I said, this is what I want to do. And like, I got my certification in image, line, and design and color. And literally in 6 months, I mean, I had a website, I was doing on-air TV work, I was doing radio. It took off like, I don't know, like hotcakes, you know? And I was just very happy with what I was doing. And I felt very, very free in that. And unfortunately, though, 5 years later, due to the diagnosis, you know, when you go into the doctors, you are put on a lot of pharmaceuticals, especially with MS. Kristen, are you aware of this?
Yes, I am actually, because my aunt, my mom's sister, she struggled with MS for many years, and we have other family members who also battle.
And it's not just MS. I think it's let's kind of broaden the scope to autoimmune. So when anybody that has an autoimmune condition, they go into the doctor and they say that the body attacks itself. So back when I was 31, I was kind of told over and over again that your body's attacking itself, your body's attacking. So you hear that more often than not. You kind of have this relationship with your body. Like, it's kind of the thoughts that you think around your diagnosis, your health. Oh, my body's attacking itself, so I'm never going to heal. Do you know what I mean? Does that resonate?
Yes. Yeah, like a constant vicious cycle.
It is.
How can you like your body when it's fighting against you to be well?
Right. And so you have this disconnect with your body if you have any autoimmune condition in this day and age. However, I've learned that through my journey, it's not necessarily, a body's attacking itself. It is viral and bacterial. So you can actually clean up your body from the inside out and heal from the inside out. I am now off 33 drugs later. I am now off all drugs that I was initially put in that all have to do with MS. And I'm healing from the inside out. And I'm really excited about that. But let me digress and tell you the reason what really got me on that path, you know, to look at healing in a different way. And so,
yeah, because there was a pivotal turning point for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The pivotal turning point was I was on my way after I had just really a lot of success in my career. I was on, Rachel Zoe produced this show called Resale Royalty. It's on Amazon. And I was approached to see if I could be a stylist for the show. And first, somebody in the image consulting and personal shopping business to, you know, have Rachel Zoe's people call you, you know, that's kind of a big deal, right? And and there's a store actually here in St. Louis, Missouri called The Vault Luxury Resale. And I ended up appearing on their reality show. So after that, I was kind of at the height of my career and I was on my way to a closet edit. And my life at that point was go, go, go again. I found, you know, I think that we get into patterns where, you know, if we don't address those patterns, they show up later in our life. And back in the day, I was always go, go, go when I was first diagnosed. And then once I established my passion, I found myself go, go, go again. And it was kind of crazy. And I was on my way to a closet edit. And I became manic due to a prescription drug by my neurologist used to control my condition, which MS, you don't have a lot of energy. So they prescribe Adderall for MS. And did you know this, Kristen?
I did not know that. No.
Yeah. And so they prescribe Adderall. And so here I am. And when you first take Adderall, like back 5 years prior, you know, you're on a low dose. And then all of a sudden, each time the dose, each year, it has to be bumped up. So I had no idea, but I ended up becoming manic and I was rushed on my way to the closet edit. I got lost and I asked for directions. And then I was on my, like at 9 a.m. I thought I was on to go to work. And by 2 p.m. I was in the psych ward. And that was pretty incredible. And they, unfortunately, when they look back in my record, the hospital saw that I was on all these different drugs and they did not listen to me when I had told them to please taper me off this medication. It's highly, it's just very powerful, right? If you're on 60 or 70 milligrams of Adderall and they just take you off cold turkey, especially if you have a compromised immune system, that's not going to work. My voice wasn't heard. They didn't listen to me. They took me off the Adderall. And a few days later, they ended up sending me handing me a cane. So I was on my way, Kristen, to a closet edit. And I ended up getting lost, right? I never get lost. And my cell phone had died and I got lost. And I asked for directions at an auto body shop. And I asked him where the closest mall was because I knew where my client lived and she was close to the mall. And they thought that was kind of weird, I guess, but I'm a strong woman and I was just wanting to ask for directions and get on out of there. Well, the directions that they gave me were kind of bogus. And I had traveled all over the world prior to even being an image consultant in my 20s. I had been to 6 out of the 7 continents. So if anyone has traveled out there, and they realize that, you know, what do you do when you get lost? You go back the way you came. And so I went back to the auto body shop the second time. And they thought that was kind of odd because I had gotten lost. And apparently I was unaware of this, but I had become manic due to the Adderall. And my brain was in mania because I was so nervous. I was running late. And but I thought I was fine. So unfortunately they called the police and I ended up going to the hospital and in the psych ward. I mean, imagine, Kristen, I'm going on my way to work at 9 a.m. all decked out, ready to do a closet edit. And by like 2, I'm in the psych ward. Isn't that crazy?
That is absolutely just bizarre.
It was so bizarre. I was a successful image consultant at the time. And I was like, this is not happening to me. You can't make this up. What is going on? And once I got into the hospital, I kept on, because I think when you're manic, you don't realize what's going on, first of all. But and I just really couldn't, I didn't know this was, I'm like, if this is happening to me, this can happen to other people. And
absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? And so I was, once I was admitted, they took me off the Adderall cold turkey, despite my pleas to say, no, you can't do that. I'm on 70 milligrams. It says you can never take people off that dangerous drug like that. And they didn't listen to me. My voice wasn't heard. And when that happened, they ended up bringing a cane a couple days later. So I guess think of it like this. You're totally, you know, you have a health condition, but you're managing it, right? You're on your A game. You're happy with doing what you're doing. Your life, like your life is together. You've got it together. And then all of a sudden you're in a psych ward and you're like, what the heck is going on? Literally why I was in the hospital, like Channel 4 up in Minneapolis had reached out to my assistant asking me to do, it was during Oscar week or the Oscars were on and the year prior, I was evaluating Oscar looks at this certain event they were having and they called me to do it again. Mm-hmm. Can you believe that? And I was like, oh, I can't, I'm in the psych ward. Do you know what I mean?
Oh my goodness. like two different lives that you're lead. I mean, it almost sounds like a bad dream. Like it sounds like something, it sounds like the kind of dream that someone would have the day before they were getting ready for a big deal. Like I always used to have these weird dreams before I would start my new school year when I was a public school teacher. And it was like the worst things that could, and the craziest things. Like I'd show up in my classroom and all my kids would, you know, I don't know, look like leprechauns or, I mean, just a silly,
like,
weird,
I couldn't,
crazy
yes,
dream.
Yes. I could, you, it's like, you can't make this up. I was like, this is, but the thing is I never woke up. It was my life. And all of a sudden I walked into the hospital totally fine. And then I had to walk out with a cane. I therefore, and a cane, maybe people wouldn't think that that's that bad, but if you live in a place of freedom and you're an entrepreneur and you know, you've traveled all over the world and then all of a sudden, like you can barely walk down the hallway and you're grabbing on walls. I mean, that's really scary, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
absolutely. And because of the decision of a person who didn't know you, didn't know your history, and didn't listen to your voice.
And my voice was not heard. And I think more time often than not, as women, our voices aren't heard. And now I'm here to reclaim my voice, right? And to share this. What's happening is in that hospital was crazy.
So let's talk about that. So after that happened,
yeah,
and you decided to make a change. What was the next step?
So
how did
I,
the transformation begin?
Sure. No, that's well, first of all, I was in complete despair and sadness. And I got home, my assistant had, and I stayed with her for a little bit, a couple days. And then, you know, after that, I was dealing with so much like PTSD as a result of what happened to me. And then I ended up not being able to work because I was in a full blown flare up, which with MS or any autoimmune, if you are have one, you're familiar with what that is. And I couldn't work. I was disoriented. I was sad. And so at that point I thought to myself, wow, Western medicine kind of failed me. What can I do to reclaim my life? And I decided at that point, I mean, it took a while, like maybe like a couple months to kind of like actually have it digest of what really happened to me. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to look into alternative routes. Like, and then I found this woman by the name of Terry Walls. And I started, you know, changing my diet. And then I ended up going down a path of being completely vegan for a while. And, you know, I think when I really approached healing, not just as the physical, initially it was like, okay, I'm going to change my physical body. Like what I used to eat out of a box, everything, Kristen. I mean, I would go to happy hours. I would eat whatever I wanted, never, ever thinking that, you know, food is, you know, could hurt me. Right. But you have to, I think when something like this happens, I just had to like, just totally 360 it or 180 it, not 360, right? 180, and
right.
Decided that I'm going to heal my physical body and I'm going to detox all of these drugs out of me. As a result, over the past 5 years, I've detoxed over 33 pharmaceutical drugs out of my body. I've reversed depression, anxiety, PTSD, bipolar, which I was misdiagnosed right at the get-go when I was first diagnosed, because I was kind of depressed. So that happens a lot in the medical system, misdiagnosis. Restless leg, yeah. I had Bell's palsy and I'm still healing these symptoms, Bell's palsy is what I'm still working on. Everything else I've reversed. So I think that's pretty, a pretty big deal.
That is absolutely so, so powerful. And, you know, here's the thing that I want my listeners to hear is that your health cannot be optional. Your health cannot be optional. And oftentimes we, and not that it's just women, but I feel like a lot of times women, they get to a place that their health becomes compromised and they realize, whoa. And sometimes it's too late for some people because the damage has been done. and it's not able to be reversed. Like, you have made such gains. But I just truly believe that when our bodies are not healthy, when our minds aren't healthy, our bodies aren't healthy, our spiritual health, when it's like a tripod, you know, and when one of those legs is not strong, it's kind of like, I have this little tripod that I use for my phone, and it has like these little jointed legs, and one of those jointed legs, like, it has a little snap on it, and sometimes it comes unsnapped, right? And then my phone topples down. And so the same is true with those three aspects of our health. And when we don't feel well, then we can't walk boldly and do the work that we're being called to do, or at least do it well. Because what happens is we can't show up the way we want to show up, the way we desire to show up. And then that causes issues for ourselves as well. But let's talk about, you talk about when you called back your power.
Yes.
What did you do? What did you do to call back your power? What do you mean by that? And take us through some steps. Like, what could our listeners do if they're finding themselves in a similar situation or know someone who is struggling with their health?
Sure. No. Well, first of all, to counteract that, what I would say is that healing is not, I know you had mentioned the three part, but I look at healing as a four part structure. It's not just physical, but it's emotional, it's mental, and it's spiritual. So if you have to get the mental and the emotional, those are two separate things, but you have to balance them. So it's kind of ironic that, you know, they brought the cane to me in the hospital, and my life was completely out of balance, and it manifested as out of balance. So we know when our life is not working. We can have an intuitive guidance that says there might be something wrong here. So I'd first like to say, the minute that your listeners hear their inner knowing, and that's at their gut or their womb space, if you're ladies, that is your internal guidance system. If that is saying there might be something wrong, you really should think about exploring this, or something's off, listen to that. I didn't listen to that. I had many signs, and like back when I was 31, before I was diagnosed, I had many things. Maybe, Alice, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be working so hard. You should be more, you know, do something that you love. And that'd be the first thing, listening to the gut. Did I answer that question correctly, by the way?
Yes. Now, were you the one that was telling me this, or somebody else was telling me about somebody else was telling me the other day that the relationship with our brain and our gut, that it goes back to the original division of the cells when we were being formed, that those cells, when we know how a fetus is formed and the division of those cells, half are going to the brain, half are going to the gut. So when people say the brain-gut connection, like your gut is your second brain, that there's actually memory between that original connection with that cell division. I thought that was fascinating.
Yes.
In terms of that connection.
Yes, no, absolutely. And they do talk, that's the real buzz out there right now, is, you know, the gut brain, but absolutely. But I think even as women, we have an intuitive sense that we need to check in to our gut and our womb space. It's no mistake that when we say you have a gut instinct, that is your true north leading you in the right direction. And that's how I was able to become, going from being a victim to being an empowered woman, because I was able to not just look at the physical, but it was kind of like those steps that I took. Like, first I was like, okay, I'm going to detox the physical body. But then once I did that, it was like, wow, I became more spiritual. And then I was like, okay, then I'm going to work on my emotions. Then I'm going to work on meditation, and I'm going to do all these things to kind of, you know, provide a body full of wholeness, if you will. Do you know what I mean? Because that's how we're out of balance. There's usually one thing, like you had said, that's a little off.
Absolutely. It's so it, I like to call it like the wrecking ball, like an aspect of your life, the THINGS, one of those aspects is out of balance. So for your health, you know, if one of those aspects of your health is out of balance, it can manifest itself into disrupting your whole entire health, which then just kind of knocks everything down in each direction that you're trying to do, because you don't have control of your time then. You don't have control of, you know, how you show up best for relationships. You don't have control of, you know, going and growing personally and serving others. You just can't do it all well when you're not well.
No, absolutely. But don't you think there are a lot of emotions wrapped around, you know, as you're doing all of this? It's really important to focus on, like, for your listeners to be like, am I really, like, how are my emotions? Let's check in on that. Do you know, Kristen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we push those down.
Yes.
You know, that's the stuff that we have to say, you know, like, okay, I'll get to that, but I have other stuff I have to do. Like, I can't really go there. I can't really open that box, because it's going to be like, I hear the song playing. It's like that little like, dun, 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 you don't want the Jack in the Box to pop out.
And that's
you don't
have time for that. Saying you need to.
Right, right. And so you don't, you just kind of like push the top back, and then, but the song keeps playing and you're like, I don't have time for that. Mute. I don't have time for that. And then it does manifest itself.
Because.
And then you have to make the time.
Oh, for sure. And that's like, I have always been a very emotional, sensitive woman. And I think as growing up, I didn't learn how to manage those emotions. So for me, part of the healing was after, you know, I started walking with the cane, which, by the way, I call it the sword of the spirit, right?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's my sword of the spirit. And I really want to get a cane. They have these canes that you can draw that are swords, but I haven't gotten one of those yet, but it would be kind of fun to have. But anyway, that was just a side note. But really, back to the emotional piece of it, component, because think about this, Kristen, if you're dealing with an autoimmune disease, you are told right out of the gate that your body is attacking itself. So you have this emotional disconnect with your body. So it's really kind of once the story I was living was kind of unfolding, and I started detoxing all of these drugs out of me, and I started loving myself unconditionally in the condition that I'm in, I was like, my body is bad. I don't know if I can say it. Can I say it? Badass?
You can say it. Yeah, you can say it.
Can I say that? My body is badass. Like, I was like, are you kidding me? Wow. And because I wasn't so disconnected, and we're so disconnected as a society, as mothers, especially, I don't have children, but my sister has children, and I know it's a lot of work. But mothers tend to give, and you don't fill your cups up. And they say, you know, on the airplane, you should always put your oxygen mask first. But we as women, we're not taught. We are caregivers inherently, right?
Yeah,
we're not taught how to care for ourselves first. So there needs to be a shift, or I'm excited for this new shift that's happening, where as women, we're learning that we do need to come first, and we do need to learn that we do. It's okay if we're a little emotional to go into that space and to be able to uncover that. On my journey, I discovered that there's an actual emotional scale to things. Did you know this?
No. Tell us.
So I was like, okay, so if I'm super depressed all the time and I'm in despair, how am I going to get up to joy? And if you can Google emotional scale, and it'll show you, like, despair's at the bottom, joy's at the top. But you can't jump from despair all the way up to joy, right? There's certain steps that you need to take to get you up to joy. Because as we know, like, no matter how bad your life is, if you're miserable, you're going to kind of get more miserable. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's completely true.
It's Einstein said it best, right? Like it's law, that one of the laws of attraction, I guess you will say, or it's energy. So, and this is my point of view, but like, if we're going to be, you know, putting that out there, we need to learn how to be like, wow, I'm really in a rut. How do I get myself up back into joy? So if you Google the emotional scale, you'll see there's certain, different teachers out there too that can teach that. But for me to be able to master the emotional scale and how I was feeling, I was able to move back up into joy and part of that and get it back up into unconditional love for myself, right? Because that's where the magic happens when you're loving yourself unconditionally. But you can't do that if you're in despair.
No. And you and I talked too about that conditionality and like what we place on ourselves, like. And I think this is really an area that I've struggled with. Happy with myself when I do X. Like I'll be happy with my body when I can achieve Y. Really, like just being grateful for the fact that we woke up today, able to take my laundry downstairs and walk back up the steps. Like those kinds of gratitude for our body. That is just not spoken about because we're too busy.
We're too busy. We're not grounded and we're not focused and we're not in the present. So if we're like, we're going to go ahead and in the future, that's when I'm going to go ahead and do that. We're in the future. We're not in our present and we're not in our bodies. So when we're in the present moment, we're in our bodies. So it's like that self-talk and dialogue that, okay, what is one small step that I can take towards, you know, for me today? Is it going to be some 5 minutes of stretching? Is it going to be, you know, tapping on my heart to kind of tune into my heart? Is it going to be closing my eyes for a second? Or am I going to just, you know, what is my self-care routine for the day? But it's not just outer self-care, it's inner self-care.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody the other day and one of the things that, you know, if we worked in a business and if you and I were, you know, office mates or whatever, and we weren't on Zoom, we were actually in an actual place. I'd be like, good morning, Alice. How are you doing today? And I would generally mean it, you know, it wouldn't just be like, you know, soft talk, but we don't do the same for ourselves. Like we don't like greet ourselves in the morning and take stock of how do we really feel like. How, you know, do we feel strong? Like this morning, I woke up at 2:30 this morning. I had the craziest dream. I thought it was 8:30. I was so well rested at 2:30 in the morning. I got up and I was like, wow, like I could really start my day today. But I didn't. I went back to bed because I thought, well, by 10:30, I won't be so rested. But my point is like, how often do we greet ourselves and really take stock? And when we wake up, like take those breaths and be like, good morning. Good morning, Kristen. Like another day together. Like, how are you doing today? And, you know, like, well, you know, I have a little bit of a dull headache, probably because I need a cup of coffee because I am addicted to coffee. But other than that, I think we're good. You know, I'm breathing clearly. You know, I don't have a stuffy nose. You know, we don't take the time.
We don't show up for ourselves, we show up for everyone else.
Right. But then what happens is we resent that. And that resentfulness.
Right. And then that's internal dialogue inside of our heads then.
Yep. And then that manifests in other ways. It manifests in how we show up for other people. It manifests in, you know, how we feel about other people who maybe we view are doing things the way we always wanted to do them and we're not. And it's just that constant, you know, push and pull. And I know for me, my own body image, you know, I was an early developer and body image was always an issue for me growing up because I was an early bloomer. And so, I mean, I was like already developed and looked like I was 16 when I was like 12, you know? And so I compared my body to my girlfriends who were late bloomers, like, you know, and who didn't necessarily, you know, start looking womanly until they were like 15 or 16. And so for me, I was always kind of like not happy that I looked different from everybody else. Although like looking back, I just looked like a woman, but I wanted to be a girl. I still wanted to be a girl. And so for me, that internal dialogue has been really important for me to speak to for my own daughter, because I don't want her to kind of go through that same struggle that I went through. So we talk about being strong, and she notices like that she is more developed than her friends. And we talk about like everybody develops at different times. Like it's not something to be ashamed of. Like this is just the way that you're, you know, your body is made, and this is just the next step. And so there's strength in what's happening to your body, and it's something to be proud of.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and but it's what's interesting is that even though like I never talk about like wanting to lose weight or like look differently, like everything we talk about in terms of nutrition is if I'm choosing not to eat something, it's because I don't like how it makes my body feel. Like, I don't want to eat a big bowl of ice cream because my stomach is going to hurt, literally, you know? So we kind of talk about like, you know, you can eat whatever you want, but how is it going to make you feel? Like, is it going to make your brain work well? Is it going to make your tummy hurt? You know, there's all those trade-offs, you know? So you have to make those decisions. But what's interesting is even though my daughter doesn't, she's not on social media, you know, and we talk positively about our body, like I see times that negative self-talk just like will come out. It's just that natural, you know, wherever it's coming from, you know, and trying to help her navigate that. And
right.
So I just think, wow, what would it be like if she was living in a house where she really heard that those constant barrage of messages all the time? Like, it's just, it's suffocating.
It is. I hear that. It does happen. So that's awesome that you are doing that. And for the listeners out there, I have a little tip if I could share for
absolutely,
you know, you as well. So I got this from Matt Kahn. I don't know if you know who he is, but he talks about with this choice, whose life am I improving? So it's like, you know, whether you're looking at like something that you're going to eat or something that you're going to do, or if you're going to spend time with certain people that maybe you don't really like, but you're going to do it anyway because you feel obligated. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I actually loved what he was talking about. And so I wrote it down on a piece of paper and I have it next to my bed. I have it actually on my mirror, but And what he says is that with this choice, whose life am I improving? So you're putting yourself first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then with this will, am I improving my life? So if you say those one or two things, if you think of that before you make a decision, it's really a way for you to be more empowered in your life, which is what I'd like to share a little more too, if you'd like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Tell us, how are you doing that?
Well, do you like those affirmations?
I love those. I love that. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, I think that's too, because they talk about we have free will, right? It's mm-hmm. It's everywhere. It's in the Bible.
Yep.
That, you know, with this will that I am choosing, am I improving my life? And I think if everyone kind of decided to, you know, think about that before they made decisions, I think, and put themselves first, that's one stepping stone towards unconditional love for yourself.
Right.
So,
when you put it like that, that it's not that you're being told to do something, then you are making that conscious choice, you know, and a silly example that happened just recently was, my daughter, writing is very difficult for her. Spelling is very difficult for her. And we talk about, you know, that this is just an area that you recognize as not something that comes easy. So you're going to have to work at it. And so what I said to her the other day when she just wanted to give up, I said, okay, you can give up. You can choose to give up and not work on your writing. Like, I can't make you want to be a better writer. But then just know that you're accepting that you will be the fifth grade writer that you are today. That's how you will go through the rest of life. If you just close that door and say, it's too hard, I'm not going to work on it. And I said, and that is so sad because you have such amazing things to say that people need to hear you have wisdom beyond fifth grade, that you won't be able to communicate that clearly enough to bless other people if you don't try. But the choice is yours.
Yes, that is awesome. So then in addition, you could say, hey, with this free will, are you improving your life if you do this, right? If yeah. we actually looked at that with every decision that we had and we were like, wow, okay, I have this free will choice. I mean, that's what we have. Our life is every day we wake up, we make choices. We can make a choice. And this is perfect segue into what I'd like to talk about next, is because this is about, you know, the old, okay, so this is about telling a new story of calling back my power, a new story of strength, resilience, and courage. So if you choose, you can be a victim. It's a choice. You could wake up and be like, my life is terrible. I have a disability. I can't, I'm limited, and think of all the negative things. Or you can choose to tell a new story of only bringing positive things into your life. The way I talk to myself is only going to be how I would talk to my mom or my sister or whoever else, my best friend. I'm going to choose to talk to myself that way. I'm not going to choose to talk to myself negatively. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. You're not optional.
No. And it's about telling a new story. And when we can shift our perspective and point of view to I am amazing, or I am strong, not strength, but I am strong, but you can also be strength, right? I am resilient. I am amazing. I am powerful. I am a woman, and I birthed, if I can birth a baby, I'm pretty powerful, right?
Pretty amazing.
Yes. And so in the morning, like, you remember how we just talked a little bit about how the morning routine connecting, mm-hmm. like you, the, a simple technique that you can do is just lay when you're laying and you instantly wake up, just tap a little bit on your heart and tune into your heart and say, thank you, body. Thank you. Thank you for my breath. Thank you for all the gifts that I have. Just immediately you could go into gratitude and just connect and thank your body, right? And absolutely. You could even say, we're telling a new story today. We're not going to tell. And even the best thing is to do this at night, to say, tomorrow we're going to tell a new story, because then you're going to go in, you know, you're going to be in joy that evening. Like if you think before you go to bed, you think about your day, you think about your kids, and hopefully try to get into a good space of joy. Or even if you've had a bad day, try to think of things in your mind that are heartfelt, that are positive, right? Right before you go to bed, because you're going to wake up in that space. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. You're manifesting. You know, it's so funny, you know, when you choose that, you know, and obviously, you know, there's certain things that we have control over and certain things we don't have control over, but this we have control over, you know, this we can actually manifest that way that we're going to show up. I have a friend, and she, for years, she wanted to move into our neighborhood, and she was like, I love your neighborhood. And I was like, oh, sister, you need to live here, because, you know, then we could walk together and we could do this kind of stuff. Well, so what she did was she made a conscious habit of driving in her neighborhood and seeing what was available, and not just wishing, oh, I wish I could live there. Like, and when a house came on the market, she was on it. She called first thing, you know. And so we were talking the other day, and we were coming home, and we had been out, and she was like, I still can't believe that I live in your, you know, in your neighborhood. I'm like, well, it's not my neighborhood. It's your neighborhood now, you know? And she's like, I know, I manifested that. And I'm like, yes, you did, girl. You know, and there were other things obviously that had to come into play with that, with buying a house and all that stuff. But the point was, is that she had an attitude of moving forward and creating a new story for, you know, for she and her, her children. So you're absolutely right. And,
I'm so glad that you brought up manifesting, because that's what this is about. Mm-hmm. We are, when we're in the emotional scale, right? What I had mentioned, right. For you to be able to create a new life with manifesting, like your friend, she just had to be in a space of joy and happiness and visualize it. She would visualize it. She would close her eyes. She would evoke that emotion. And when you evoke that emotion, when you're in joy, you get more of whatever you can create is going to come your way. But if you're right. in despair and depression and you're just, and you keep on putting that out there, that's, you're going to get more of that. So you have to, so people, for me, because I am so emotional, I had to learn how to master that scale. So as far as being back in despair to get up to joy, to be able to create the life you love, you in despair, then you get really angry and then you get kind of like agreeable. And then you get kind of, you're like, okay, I'm okay with this. Like, it's kind of like when you're sad and you're really angry and then you, all of a sudden everything's better. And then you start looking at your kids or you start petting your dog and then you start thinking about good things and your heart just kind of opens up and then you're in joy and then you can start kind yes. of manifesting.
Yeah. There, you know, there's a phrase that I don't like and it's called fake it till you make it. You've heard of that phrase before.
I used to say that to my interns before I got sick. I will never say it again.
Yeah. And it, you know, what happens is then you're pretending, you know, fake means you're pretending. You're not really what you wish to be. And so instead I like to say, believe till you achieve, because that you are manifesting. Like, you believe that something is going to happen in your heart and you're living that truth, even though you haven't crossed the finish line yet, right? It's like training for, you know, a triathlon. Like, you believe you're going to finish all of those, even though you haven't done it yet. You're not faking that you're a triathlete. You're not pretending that you're a triathlete. You are believing until you get to that finish line. And so I think there's a big difference there too, with how we show up daily with that thought process.
So, no, 100%. That is great. I actually even wrote that down. So everybody on the call, write that down.
Write that down. Okay. Hashtag believe till you achieve.
Believe until you achieve. Yes. Yes. That's great. That's good. That's a good snippet. But
well, how are you? I'd like you to talk about what you're doing now in terms of, you have a mission project that you're focusing on. And you and I love to talk about our missions, because I have a mission internationally. You have a mission internationally. So talk to us about that mission and how giving is enhancing your power and the power of others.
Sure. No problem. Well, after, like, I was kind of clean, I had four moves in the matter of 5 years. And that's a lot for somebody kind of trying to heal, right? Mm-hmm. So when I first got to Minneapolis, or to St. Louis, where I'm from here, I got into this car accident. And I've spent the first 6 months, I was in another flare up where my walk was even weaker. I was like, really, really, this is happening to me again? And I was just really kind of down. And as soon as I recovered in a new city, COVID hit. So I've been kind of not really been able to, you know, I think everybody is kind of going through that. Right.
Right.
And, for me, I think I was out on Instagram and I had seen this. I have traveled to Cape Town, South Africa, by the way, in the past, and also Johannesburg. So I've been over to Africa, and I see this Instagram post of this woman with this little boy looking at back at these other little boys that were going to school in their uniform. And the caption below was, you know, along the lines of, you know, this boy, what was going through his mind. He wasn't able to go to school, but he was able to, you know, have the, so what was happening in the picture, he was looking at these boys that were going to school and he couldn't go to school. So he was obviously very sad. And it just, the picture shows a thousand, you know, it was so crazy to me. And I thought, gosh, what is this organization? That for whatever reason, that made me make the call to call to action, I guess, if you will, to look into that and see how I could help. But it actually is an organization that empowers not men, but, or boys, but, young women and teen moms in particularly. And it helps with educational and career goals and life skills, because a lot of these young women in Africa are being married off, like 14-year-olds are being married off to, you know, 45-year-olds, and that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And then they're, you know, having babies, and then their husbands leave them, and then they have to figure out how to live. And it's insane. So it's like, I can't believe this hasn't, you know, is still going on in 2020. Right. So for me, to answer your question, I really felt like I couldn't help with that organization. And I set up a meeting and I spoke with the person that runs it. And I shared a lot of tools and tricks of empowerment that I've done. And then she is doing them and then passing them on. So it just seems like I'm just really excited to kind of lead and help inspire other strong women doing amazing things out there. And it starts with, of course, unconditional love for yourself, but also women helping other women.
I love it. It's so amazing. You know, you and I had talked about the similarities of us pouring into other women. And just this morning, I was having a conversation with my friend who lives in Sri Lanka, and that's the international mission that I've been doing with my friend. And you can check it out on my website under shop. There's a link that says service to others. But I was talking to her, and we're helping her to build a business, and we're helping her to have a home that's safe and, you know, doesn't leak when the winter, you know, when the rains come. And so we were talking about what to do with the current house that they live in. And at one time we thought, oh, well, maybe we'll make it into a bigger shop and, you know, offer more things for the community. And she had an idea, and she said, I would like to offer a place for women and, you know, and teenage girls who work in a local factory. I would like to provide a place for them to stay that's safe and clean, and they can just, you know, pay board or whatever. And it just hit me. And I said to her, because through this whole process, like, she's gotten to know God, and she never knew him before. And she said that to me, like,
that's great.
I want to know more, and I want to know more. And you've, you know, went through this work and people partnering, she has seen the value in herself when she didn't see it before. And so I said to her this morning, how many women, you know, do you think you could have live in the home? And she said, probably about 8, depending on how they can get beds configured and stuff. And I said, 8 to 10. And I said, sister, you could pour into 10 women. You can pour into them about how worthy they are. And if they want to work in a garment factory for the rest of their lives and they're happy doing that, that's great. But you now know that you could be called to more. And the look on her face was like she saw how she could create a ministry to other women. And it was just so magical, you know, to see the thoughts in her head of, whoa, you know, that the power and the ability to pour in hope. So it's just so, it's so awesome. I really can't wait. I'd love to have a link to Girl Pride Africa so that our listeners can learn more about that wonderful cause. That's just so, so powerful. Well,
what's happening though is this woman who runs it owns a cleaning company, and she has, you know, they've educated women but now it's turning in with COVID, it's turning into, we just need to get food and diapers for these girls and their mm-hmm. kids. And so they feed 200 people a week, and they are out of funding. And so just to give you some perspective, $20 will feed a young girl and her son or daughter for 2 weeks, $20. It's just, your money wow. goes so far. So for me, being an image consultant and thinking like, us women up here in America, we're spending so much on things. Like we just go into Target and can spend $100. $100 mm-hmm. can pay for rent for a month for a young woman and her child. You know, I there's know. Like, it's such perspective. Like, you know, absolutely. It's kind of like when I'm up at the register with this choice, whose life am I improving? Or could I maybe spend, you know, $50 at Target and then donate my other 50 to a woman or and child in another country to help really feed them for like 3 weeks? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. Because I know that that reality was made crystal clear to me when my friend's husband, he works as an elevator technician, and he was injured before COVID with a different company, and he was off work for 3 weeks. He had a concussion, and then COVID hit. So for almost four That's months, terrible. They had no money coming in to the household.
That's terrible.
And it was absolutely terrible. So they were just absolutely hopeless. Like they felt so like in that despair. They were in the pit of despair. And when he got his job, by the time I had started talking to them, he had a job and he had just started his job. Crazy. He works for the Schindler Elevator Company in Colombo.
Cool is that?
Yeah, which we didn't even know that when we started talking.
No affiliation.
I wish, but no. And so what was interesting though, is like, he showed me how much he made when he got his first paycheck. And his first paycheck for an entire month of driving 45 minutes one way and working from sunup to sundown was the amount that most people spend on their cell phones in the United States for a family.
Wow.
And it was
it's perspective.
It is perspective, because they don't have, you know, they don't have the ability, like, it's not that it's a good thing, but like, if you need a new washer and dryer and you don't have the cash, like Lowe's has Lowe's credit card, right? Like you have the ability in the United States to buy stuff and then hopefully pay it off and not get in debt. But over there, like to put a new roof on the house, it would take him 12 years.
Yeah.
And that would be taking every penny he ever made. I mean, you just can't do that.
No, for sure.
You know, you can't. So you have to. And so I think, you know, recognizing where you can help, and that if you have the ability to help.
Yeah. And let's say if you have, because I just want to take a moment of compassion, because we are in a time with COVID, and there's job loss, and there's a lot of things that people are struggling with. I mean, and I have such mad compassion for that. But and it comes back to unconditional love for yourself. Like I had to learn that I had to, like, financially, you have to give to yourself first before you give to others. You know, like if you're not have income coming in, there are other ways. Like I'm on disability. It's like I don't have a ton of income coming in. But my way of giving back was service to this woman to say, hey, I have a business background. I can help you get your mission statement together. Or let me just kind
Absolutely.
Of help coach you. And for me, it was really just, I think, in despair, helping someone else, you know, after this car accident. And like as I was healing, I was getting, you know, more empowered and things like that. But just really just helping someone, even though I didn't even have the money that I wanted, you know, that's irrelevant.
Absolutely.
But it was just really the help that I was providing gave me glory.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. Like I've had $0 to contribute to starting this project and starting this shop and helping this family build this house. But you can use your talents and resources to connect with other people who can help the situation. And, you know, that's the amazing thing that God does, is that God gives us those gifts and talents, and he wants us to use them. And they're all just as important as others. But I think helping that person get out of that pit of despair, like tossing them that rope, you know, that's like a little like rope ladder that they can start climbing out step by step and,
yes,
you know, get their balance,
them,
you know,
empowering them up the emotional scale to get back up into joy.
Yep.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listen, Alice, what would you like to leave our listeners with as we wrap up today? What are some words of wisdom or nuggets or anything, you know, that you would like to leave our listeners with as we wrap up?
I would say, remember to put yourself first and forgive yourself if you're going through something. Accept and forgive. Those were really big things on my journey. And just, you know, remember to just place your hand on your heart and check in with yourself from time to time, the first thing in the morning and first thing maybe before bed. And just, you know, think about, you know, your day before you go to bed, how, even though if it was terrible, it was stressful or whatever, just focus on the things that brought you joy throughout the day. Your kids, your babies, your pets, your husband, whatever brought you joy, focus on that. So then the next day you wake up and you're in a better space than you were the day before.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Alice. Thank you for your insights. Thank you for sharing your heart and your testimony of transformation and empowerment. And I just look forward to talking with you again. And maybe you can help me with my image consulting when the time comes. So.
Sure. No problem. It's my pleasure. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. I just hope that today's speaker, Alice, I hope that she poured into you to remind you that you have a choice. You have a choice of how you show up each day, how you show up for yourself, how you show up for others. And if you're not showing up for yourself powerfully and reclaiming your health and your perspective, it's really difficult to show up for others the way that we need to. If you're interested in helping Alice, I would appreciate you checking out my website at kristenleeschindler.com and clicking on podcast, and there you'll be able to find the show notes and the links of the things that she talked about that are important to her. And if you felt that this episode brought you value, I would appreciate your support as becoming a Patreon member on All the Things. You can search it up on Patreon, and there'll also be a link on Kristen Lee Schindler where you can start being a monthly supporter. We appreciate you. We appreciate you listening. And we hope that we're bringing you value that's inspiring you and helping you to show up strongly for those you love.